welcome back to Dakota Midday. I am Kara Hetland, and joining me now is author and American academic Brian Evensen. Thanks so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And you're coming to South Dakota on Friday, speaking to students at the University of South Dakota, also holding a reading. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that is open to the public as well on Friday. So let's introduce our listeners to who you are. Currently, you're teaching at Brown University,
That's correct, you're
in the process of moving across the country.
I just took a job at CalArts, which is a university just outside of Los Angeles, and so I'm heading west.
Tell me a little bit about your process as an author. When do you find time to write?
You know, I've always had to kind of carve out time here and there to write. I had children very young, and I actually have a 2.5-year-old right now as well, and so it always seems like I'm just trying to find little bits and pieces of time where I can, and that turns out to be actually pretty okay, because it just means that when I have time, I really make use of it. I have a lot of friends who are writers who have 5 or 6 hours kind of at the stretch to themselves, and it's very easy to kind of, you know, watch a video on YouTube and then kind of relax and listen to a new song and check your email. And if you have, you know, these shorter bursts of 30 minutes, 40 minutes here and there, you don't do that. You really value that time.
How do you know you have an idea for a book?
I've always been really lucky in terms of that. I have more ideas than I could ever possibly write. And I've written as, you know, many books of stories as I have novels, and I think it's partly because if you have lots of ideas, then stories are a great place to use them. I don't know. I think I get a lot of ideas from reading other things or you know, and thinking about where other books could go that they don't go. I get ideas from just being out in the public and talking to people and thinking about things, and I feel very lucky that way. I've never had writer's block.
Never.
Never.
Wow.
I guess there's always knock on wood, yeah.
Now that you've said that out loud, no. So you have books of shorter stories, and you have your novels, as you mentioned. And so I'm wondering if you, not every story is a novel, I guess is my question.
Yeah. No.
And how do you know?
Well, I think pretty quickly you kind of have a sense of the kind of you know, the kind of length that an idea can go. Some ideas just have a kind of shorter sense to them, and other ideas, once they start to be multi-part or have things that complicate them, end up feeling very long. So I would say within a page or two of starting to write something, I usually know, you know, if it's going to be a pretty short story or a kind of medium-length story or if it's going to be a novel. And, you know, as time's gone on, I feel like I'm more and more accurate about that. And it's just, you know, some things are great to talk about, but you can think about it just in terms of conversations. Sometimes you have a conversation with someone for 2 hours and it's great. Other times you have a conversation for them with 10 minutes and it's great. But if you try to talk about the thing that it takes 10 minutes to talk about for 2 hours, it's just not great. You get really bored.
Do you always know the ending when you start writing?
I rarely know the ending when I start, and in fact, the moments when I do know the ending, I usually don't finish the piece because it becomes less interesting to me. So part of it for me is, as a writer, is this having an experience that's not unlike the reader's experience of kind of you know, being a little surprised by the story. You know, there's things I know, but there's always twists and things that happen that surprise me and kind of take me in different directions.
Now you've published about a dozen books or a dozen books, and so how many stories do you have in the drawer?
I probably have, that's a really good question. You know, I probably have published around, I don't know, maybe 100, 120 stories in books, and then probably another 50 or so in magazines. And I would guess that I have at least that many in the drawer, maybe close to 200 stories that are partly finished or that I haven't finished or that, you know, sometimes I go back to them later and find something in them that ends up kind of sparking another idea and pushing me forward. But I think that a big part of being a writer is not only, you know, writing a story, but it's knowing when to kind of move away from a story or, you know, put it aside.
And now how is it then, being a writer, is it an easy transition to teach writing at the collegiate level?
I find it pretty easy. It's hard in the same way that all kind of teaching is hard, but I feel like being a writer and teaching writing go hand in hand, and it's a great thing to be able to go and see what young writers are doing and what they're thinking, and kind of seeing people work often on people who are just learning to work on their craft. You start to remember things about your own writing, things that maybe over time you forget. It makes you pay attention to the kind of essentials of writing, makes you take a lot of care with your sentences, and really reminds you the basics that are there. So I find it's a profession that for me really feeds me as a writer. And I love to teach. I really like working with students. It's so satisfying when students when you see them making these leaps and bounds, when they really develop as writers in ways that are unexpected, and when they suddenly get something that they hadn't seen before, it's just really amazing.
And when you come to visit South Dakota on Friday, your advice to the young writers here?
I think that the most important thing for young writers is to read, and read a lot. And I think the other thing is it's important to just read eccentrically, to look for new things, take chances on things. Don't just read the New York Times bestseller list, but kind of explore things and see what's out there. And I think that kind of makes a kind of aesthetic for people, and it kind of gives you a different set of possibilities than there's people who kind of all read the same sort of thing and they all tend to write very much alike. But I think just following little suggestions and hints and if you read something and you like it, see who's supporting it on the back of the book and ask people who you respect what they like. And those sorts of things, I think, end up building an aesthetic sense for you as a writer.
And would you say your stories, I mean, there's sometimes that you read an author and the books all sort of sound alike, but you don't stick with one type of storytelling, do you?
I'm fairly varied, yeah. I don't know how quite to talk about it, but yeah, I do things in terms of, I do various lengths of things, but also I have some work that's very literary, some work that is kind of has a horror edge to it, a genre edge to it. So October is a great month to have me out because of that, I think, because of Halloween. And then I do also under another name, under the name B.K. Evanson, I publish other projects that are kind of unapologetic and very different. I've done video game novels under that name. I've done, an Aliens novel from the movie Aliens under that name. And so I have this very, I do a lot of different kinds of things and really enjoy doing a lot of different kinds of things.
Is that what keeps you from getting writer's block, do you think?
It might be what keeps me from getting writer's block. I always have a project that's going on, and if something is not going as well as it could, I have no qualms about just putting it down and trying something else. So it may be that what other people think of as writer's block is just I keep on changing from one project to another and back again. And when I do that, I find that if you put something down and do something else, your mind subconsciously solves the problems that you were working on before.
And do you have those middle of the night aha moments? Keep your pencil and paper under your pillow, kind of.
I don't do that, but I do have those middle of the night moments, and it is frustrating because if you don't wake up and record it in some way, then you usually wake up in the morning and think, "What was that?" So yeah. My wife is a writer as well. She writes young adult and children's literature, and so we both have this thing where sometimes she'll wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Remember this word," and she'll say a word to me, and I'll have no idea what what she wants me to remember it for, and she's just hoping it will be it'll give her a kind of key to what she was thinking or dreaming about that would be helpful for her book. So we do the same kind of thing.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today, and good luck on your travels.
Thanks very much. I'm excited to come out there.
Thank you very much. Brian Evanson speaking on the USD campus on Friday. and joined us today. I want to thank all of my guests for being on the program today, Steve Kirby and the Dakota Political Junkies, and special thanks to Keely Boltina and Steve Zwemke. And just a reminder, the McGovern Civic Engagement Forum is tonight at 6 o'clock at the Sherman Center on the Dakota Wesleyan campus. The topic is, should religion play a role in 21st century politics? You can hear conversations with the featured speakers tonight at 6 o'clock at Dakota Wesleyan in Mitchell at the McGovern Civic Engagement Forum. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.